This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
Hey everybody, this is Christelle Alonso and I am boldly going where no man has gone before. Or maybe they have. I don't know what kind of life you live. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. And yes, we've just coming down or getting over, I suppose, Free Play, which has been a marvellous independent games festival that's been running since April 10. And we didn't get a chance to see a lot of people there, but we know that there were some people like Georgia, who I've got on the line right now, Georgia Simons, and we're going to have a chat to her about her involvement in Free Play and also about games and what she does currently in theatre, I believe. So I want to welcome you to the show there, Georgia.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so yes, so what did you do at Free Play?
I was speaking in a short segment for part of the seminar at the end of the conference, at the end of the festival, a segment called Games That Made Me. It was me and four other independent game designers and developers talking about games and playful experiences that shaped the way that we work and the way that we are in the world today.
Wow, okay. From your background as well, which is theatre.
Yeah, I was quite surprised when I was asked to speak on this sort of panel discussion because my background isn't really in game design. I'm going into that field now, but I come from a film and theatre background. And so a lot of what I talked about in my speech was to do with theatre companies and performance and live art companies that are working in an interactive space.
Yeah, that crossover is interesting. I think, how do you interpret that with the work that you're doing?
It's a big question for me at the moment. I've seen a lot of work by companies that have interactivity built into them or just give the audience a sense of agency in what they're doing. So one of the companies I spoke about was Punch Drunk, that a lot of theatre makers will know about. And they're a company that make work where audience members can walk through a physical world of the story and follow whichever actors they like. And that's referred to as participatory dramaturgy, when you get to choose which parts of the story you see and choose who you want to follow. But what I'm interested in is, how can we extend that idea of giving agency to the audience, and how can we make the audience who have an active role in the way the story is told and can engage with a responsive story world, as opposed to it being more of a choose your own adventure like this or that, if they can have agency to actually affect what the story is and how it's told.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that is taking it into a new, you know, a very opening up to a new field at this rate. Holograms, is that something that you're looking at in the future as well?
Holograms?
Yes. I mean, having a hologram.
That would be fantastic. I don't know whether my budget would allow for it anytime soon, but it sounds pretty interesting. I think what's so interesting about doing this kind of work in a theatrical space is that you have the potential to be even more interactive than, say, a video game or a board game, because ultimately those are things that you have to design and then put out into the world and not have anyone physically present for the running of that game, and it's up to the players to only go through like a limited number of tasks. Whereas when we work in theatre and making interactive theatre experiences, you can go through a process where it's more like training your actors to improvise for any circumstance. Rather than running through a set number of stories that could occur, it's more like preparing them to encounter any feedback that they might get from the audience and be flexible with the story and take it in directions that you may have not even remotely considered. And it can be completely different every time it's played.
Wow. That's a lot for performers too, isn't it, to keep in with that? And your background as a director and producer. So how do you get together with an ensemble of people and integrate that with what their experience is normally?
Yeah, well, that's something that I'm trying to learn about and sort of go into at the moment. My background is predominantly as a writer, and so I've had the pleasure in a project that I'm working on at the moment of working with a director who has a bit more experience in this field. But I think it's about being very sort of open to collaboration with the cast, giving the cast a lot of input into the story world so that they can then take ownership of that. And they have kind of created the characters themselves. The words that are on the page feel like their own words. Mm. And then from that point, they can also feel free to improvise around that and take it off in different directions because they've been an active part of the process of developing the characters and the story in the first place. So it's not like in a conventional play where, like, the play gets written and then you hand it to performers and they might have some bits of feedback, but it ultimately stays the same story. It's more about presenting a very, very rough draft at first and letting the actors take an active hand in shaping that world and shaping that story.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of work, and the dynamics there would have to be, you know, pretty fluid, I guess. So everyone, you know, gets an understanding of just how expensive this could be.
I think it's a really refreshing way of working because it kind of dispenses with a few of the notions of hierarchy that you see in a lot of theatre rehearsal rooms, and it kind of allows for everyone to have very direct and active input and for it to be truly a product of the group experience rather than a product of one sort of like artist giving their idea to other people. It's more about sharing between artists and between equals.
Yeah, oh, so it's amazing. It's just mind-blowing when you think about it. and also the audience getting involved more too. So, yeah, interesting. Wow. So for you coming up, will you be working with productions like this? Are you working on something now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually in the middle of a day of rehearsal right now.
Okay.
For a project called In the Dark, which is based around the idea of a bit of a cult. It's a cult of the mantis shrimp.
Of the what, sorry?
The mantis shrimp.
Mantis
and
shrimp.
People who worship the mantis shrimp, and then players are going to come into this world and some of them might choose to join the cult and go through with this big elaborate ritual that's happening that night, and other players might choose to go against that cult and try and bring the cult down and expose it for the evil sham that it is. and that story is kind of going to play out over the course of a night. And that's on from the 12th to the 17th of May at the Brunswick Mechanics Institute.
Cool. Yeah. Yes, so there are things happening after the Melbourne Comedy International Festival. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is life after that and after Free Play as well. So it's been such a busy time for Melbourne. There's always a festival somewhere.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking of the word player, how you use that, and I immediately thought of a game, you know, because, of course, we use those same titles. I've never thought of it like that before.
Yeah, well, I think audiences, even for traditional theatre, are players in a way in the sense that you have some degree of agency over how you want to receive the story, and even the fact that you are obeying the convention of sitting still in the audience. You know, like, ultimately you are a person and you do have agency and you could shout out at the actors if you wanted to. You could get up and leave it if you wanted to.
Throw something
and
at them.
And we just kind of are conditioned to not do that.
Yes.
But I want to take audience out and replace that with players and make people feel like at every stage they are welcome to and actually required to have active input into how the events around them are unfolding.
And so for an audience member, could they go back the next time, for example, to another performance, and again, they could get involved in a different way? I mean, they could also have agency to be a player again. Is it going to be obviously different every time if they did that?
Yeah, well, I think that people might want to come back if they enjoy it the first time around and they've played, you know, for example, they've played as someone who wants to join this cult and be a part of the ceremony, then maybe the next time they want to come back and play as someone who's going to be in the group of people who are rebelling against that cult, trying to bring it down and expose it. Because there are multiple spaces throughout the building and the players get split up into different groups a lot. You could come back multiple times and get different bits of content each time and have a different experience as a player each time. Kind of like going through different levels or following different paths through that terrain, through that story terrain.
Wow. Yes, I think I've heard there's a similar type of thing. There was something in New York. I just can't think of the name. It's terrible. A friend of mine went to.
Yeah, that was by that company I was talking about earlier, Punch Drunk.
Yes.
They had a show in New York called Sleep No More. In fact, I think it's still running. It's been running for about 3 or 4 years. And yeah, it's about sort of you can go back every night and kind of see a completely different story. I mean, we're not working on the same scale as them, but the difference is that there's more interactivity for the audience, and the audience have more choice about like what happens in the story. In that Punch Drunk work, you don't have any impact upon the story. You have the choice of which stories you see, but you don't get to change that in any way or participate in that in an active way.
It's probably interesting because they have more of that structure, I suppose, because it's so long running. You couldn't be too involved in that sort of way and change it too much. Whereas you've got the advantage being smaller, I guess. You can, yeah, with a smaller running time period, you can probably do that, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. The scale certainly starts to challenge how much interactivity you can have once you expand to more and more actors, more and more locations.
Well, this is certainly going to open up a lot of things, I think. This is amazing. Like, wow. Interesting. Oh, gee. Okay. What I was going to say next is, after In the Dark, what are your plans and where do you think this is going to go?
Well, the season that we have at the Brunswick Mechanics Institute is a development showing, so we're hoping to present the work in a bit of a larger scale for a longer run sometime, maybe early next year. I'm also working on a project called How to Break into Someone Else's Universe, which is in development in a residency with Arena Theatre Company, and that's an interactive work for a younger audience about trying to find the magic in everyday objects, and it's made for that audience of like young to middle teens who are starting to sort of realize that certain kinds of magic they believed in when they were younger might not be what they first appeared, but trying to find other ways of seeing the magic in the world and creating an interactive experience for that audience. And I'm still working on more, I guess, conventional theatre projects as well. I've got a show on from the 7th to the 9th at the Malt House, which is called Iago, and that's with a great company in Footscray called Western Edge. And they work with a really diverse ensemble from the Western Melbourne community, and that's looking at issues of domestic violence in various different communities and in contemporary Australia. Other projects as well, always writing different stuff and working in as many different media as I can, I guess.
Yeah, it's very, very busy. Lots of things happening there. So that one's just for the 7th to the 9th.
Very short. 7th to the 9th of May at the Malt House.
Cool. All right. So where can people find out more about you and all this amazing work you're doing? Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah. Look, I really should, shouldn't I?
Blog or something. Now, I always say that to people. But
Look, if you go to georgiasimmons.com in about a year's time, I'm sure there'll be plenty of content there.
All right.
Unfortunately, the best way to find me at the moment is probably just Googling. But the information about the show at the Mechanics Institute can be found on the website of Metanoia Theatre.
Metanoia.
The company that are presenting us at the Mechanics Institute. So I believe that's probably metanoia.com. I will be on their website as well. So that
for the
Western Edge Youth Arts.
Okay. That's cool. Awesome stuff happening there. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we go? I'll let you go. But anything you want to add, Georgia, go for it.
Just that I think that Free Play was a fantastic festival. I saw a lot of really interesting content, met some really nice people. I went to a board games night, so that was fun. And I think that they're really doing great work in terms of representing lots of different voices, both in terms of people's identities and in terms of the kind of work they're making. I think that the openness that Free Play have to what the definition of a game can be is really important for the industry at this point. So it was a really positive experience for me, definitely.
With board games and everything, tabletoping, it's certainly opening it up, and it's their 10th anniversary, and let's hope it just gets bigger and bigger. It will, and lots of fun. And crikey.com had an article about independent games as well, and why it doesn't get enough attention from everything else, like mainstream, which should do because we have so many people making and being involved in these things, so that's good.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us there, Georgia. It's just great.
Right. Thanks for having
me, Simons. Thank you, and good luck with your In the Dark, your Iago, and many other things. So making the player play.
Thank you very much.
The audience is playing now too, aren't they? Really?
Absolutely.
So that's good. All right. Thank you.
Get something shocking in your ear every Tuesday night at 10 on Joy 94.9. Join us.
You can find more Joy
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 casts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.